ABGC, Episode 8, Ambush. Alpha Chitin turns away from Alpha Equar. I know enough about the Godflow. My family lore says they are just a pack of unruly scavengers, nothing more. Still, I should have made it clear to Skyla to mind her distance from them. Will you help us in our struggle, Alpha Equar? Alpha Equar gets a concerned look on his face and says, I can spare a few of my centurions to accompany you back to your village, Alpha Chitin, but the rest are needed here to finish construction. Alpha Chitin responds, I understand, and I thank you for your generosity. Alpha Equar replies, You might consult the Learning Cave before committing my centurions to any battle plans with the Shadowcasters or the Godflow. Alpha Chitin nods and sets off. Scene. Exterior. Ambush point in the forest, early afternoon. A dense forest area is graced by beams of light, which penetrate the thick branches above. Despite being well lit, Skyla is virtually invisible thanks to her natural camouflage. The tranquility of the moment is lost to sounds of the forest floor crackling and twigs breaking. A look of panic falls over Skyla's face. She jumps from the bare tree branch to a heavy concentration of greens below. Skyla reflects, Please don't find me. Please don't find me. Large leaves of a distant plant are jiggled and eventually pushed aside as the two youthful Godflow step slowly forward. One is tall with pointy triangle ears and a long muzzle. The other short and broadly built with floppy ears and a more squared-off muzzle. They crouch, carefully determining each paw placement as if stalking their next meal. Rot says to Derek, Derek, it's here! Derek whispers loudly, Shut up, Rot! The bushes just beyond them twitch at the sound of his voice, and they take notice. Derek and Rot, in ridiculously overdramatic voices, say, Attack! They charge the disturbed greenery with an obvious lack of style and grace, exaggerated further by their wide eyes and stupid, toothy grins. Skyla leaps from her hiding spot, not intimidated in the least by the slobbery fangs before her. Determination and revenge are driving her actions now. Surprised, the two Godflow attempt to reverse their engagement, but their bodies are far too committed to the motions at hand. In mid-leap, Skyla steps on Derek's head, then passes over them both, landing behind Rot and sending a blade straight through his back. She pulls the blade out and spins to come face to face with Derek, who has almost turned around to face her. They lock eyes and stare as Rot's now lifeless body collapses to the ground just beyond them. Derek's head tilts slightly, his ears go back, looking very confused, and he says, We thought you were going to be food! Skyla doesn't blink at the comment. She stares a moment longer, anger and revenge still building within her, then unleashes a series of blade attacks. Derek raises his arms, attempting to defend himself, but to no avail. The blades slice open his forearms right to the bone. She kneels and swings a few more times across his thighs, inflicting the same level of carnage. She then leaps up in the air, bringing her arm blades down vertically into the shoulder line of Derek, followed by a thrust of her legs, sending her shin blades straight through his abdomen. Skyla, full of rage, says, "This food fights back." Skyla dismounts Derek, and he falls to the ground. Skyla begins to tear up, and in a choked-up voice says, "That's for Kale, and for bringing the Shadowcasters into our valley." Skyla takes a moment to reassess everything she has just done, and becomes more frightened than angry. Skyla leaps into the trees and out of sight. Moments later, Rot begins to move. He gets up slowly and has a dark purple spot on his back where the puncture used to be. A trail of blood can still be seen running down his fur. He walks over to Derek and kneels beside him. The wounds on Derek's arms, legs, and chest are healing themselves. Purple ooze overlays the trickling blood, and the wounds seal completely. The long gashes from the blades are now long purple stripes, adding a bit of color to his white-gray coat. The blood underneath him is still wet and is soaking into his fur. Rot speaks.
"Get up! Get up, Derek!"
What happened?" Derek inquires.
"We got our tails kicked, that's what happened," Rot says back.
Derek gasps and sighs.
"Great! Alpha Paw is never going to let me live this one down."
Rot helps Derek up off the ground. Blood drips off Derek's fur steadily. Derek speaks again.
"I'm a mess. We should stop by the pond on the way back."
"That's a good idea," Rot says. They begin to walk out of sight, arm over shoulder, as best friends do. Derek turns to Rot and says,
"What's a Shadowcaster?"
Rot shrugs his shoulders. "I don't know."
"Humph,"
Derek responds in curiosity. Scene: External. River. Early afternoon. Skyla comes to an opening in the forest and finds herself facing the river where Kale vanished. She approaches and begins to wash the blood from her fur and blades. She gazes upwards, observing the white fluffy clouds suspended in the brilliant blue sky. She stands up, looking quite forlorn, and leaps from the riverbank to one of the many rounded stones protruding up through the river itself. She begins to sing away her sorrows, leaping elegantly from stone to stone across the river, kneeling down to wash more blood away from her paws and blades every so often. Her beautiful and sad song can be heard echoing through the entire valley.
To fish and playing. Last night he was laying so near. And now vengeance is mine, and by all the tribal rights, those kills were justified. So why can't I decide how I feel inside? I am angry, but still full of tears. The deaths of rivals won't bring back his smile, and I'm still all alone sitting here. Trying to remember when we weren't together. Why don't I feel better from the kill?
Skyla, having finished her song, is now on the opposite side of the river. She takes one more look at the mournful sight. "I should head back to the village and give my report to father," she thinks to herself, not realizing she has left an arm blade slightly unwashed. She vanishes into the forest. Scene: External, the pond, early afternoon. Derek and Rot are seen walking toward the pond. They carelessly toss their trinkets and garb aside, leaving a trail of clothing and artifacts on the ground. They enter the pond and begin washing the blood from their fur. Rot chases his tail, as if there was any hope of him actually being able to see the small of his own back. "Hey, Derek, did I get it all off?" Derek responds, No, here, I'll get the rest of it." Derek scrubs out the red and watches it dilute into the pond's water. Rot notes, "We should go to the learning cave and see what we can find out about that Shadowcaster thing before we return to Alpha Paw." Derek, smirking slightly, "That's a good idea. How did you think of it?" They both laugh and begin to walk out of the pond. Scene: External space. The majestic human spaceship glows a soft blue as it effortlessly glides through space. Scene: Interior, human spaceship. On board, a low, resonating hum can be heard in all directions as the rift engine does its job pushing the ship along in space. In the officers' club, occupants do their part to add the white noise of conversation to the music being pumped into the room.
Billions of chemical reactions collide. It's harmony, it's synergy. Dinosaurs, gargoyles and wild boars, antelope and unicorns, all searching for love. We all survive.
At one table in particular, The music has an audience. Dawn speaks sentimentally. I love this song. We would always smile, look in each other's eyes, and then get up and slow dance to it. Jeff responds. Yeah. Alyssa loved this song too. It was getting really popular back then. Who knows? If things had turned out differently, it might have made number one. Don laughs. I would have voted for it. Don becomes quiet for a moment, now wearing a melancholy smile. Do you think we will find it? She says. Jeff answers back inquisitively. The ship? Or the cure? Either, Don responds. Honestly, I figured we would have found the ship by now. Or pieces of it, anyway. All smashed up by an asteroid or blown up from an engine overload. The fact that we haven't found anything really intrigues me. It either means there's nothing left of the ship, or it made it much further than we thought. As for the cure, well, you're the scientist. You tell me how likely it is. I'm just the guy that flies around looking for stuff. They both chuckle a bit. Don quickly becomes serious once again. I don't think it is very likely at all. I'm thankful we are still here to talk about it, though. Even if we have been cryo-iced and microwaved like a TV dinner, she laughs. Jeff responds, 421 years is a long time to let go of the pain, even if we have only been conscious for a few months. The music is abruptly stopped, and an announcement comes over the speaker system. Captain, please report to the sensor room immediately. We have contact. Don and Jeff both look at each other with excitement and quickly get up from the table. Thanks so much for listening to Episode 8! We've updated the online store to include the two songs you heard in this episode. The first was Skyla's song, and the second is called Hive.